Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
Oh, please bring it up, Jake.20 minutes away from the Power Hour. Terrific Tuesday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley, featuring all our bets for tonight. But before we get to our bets for tonight, we got to get the golf bets coming up for the weekend. And to do that, we welcome in the one, the only, the great James Mazzola from the For Profit Podcast on Twitter at JMazJD. If you are a golf handicapper, if you're a golf bettor, if you're a golf fan, JMaz, an absolute must follow again on Twitter at JMazJD. JMaz, welcome back to You Better You Bet. Nick and Ken, terrific Tuesday, BetQL Network. How the hell are you doing?
Good, guys, good. We're the full West Coast swing here, coming off an awesome weekend at Torrey Pines up to Pebble Beach for a little pro-am golf. I actually might end up making an appearance over there over the weekend, so if anyone's around, I'd love to buy you a beer, but we have we're in the swing of things here.
Yeah, no, obviously coming off a weekend at, of course, Torrey Pines that I know you're really familiar with, having played it a number of times. I do want to ask you, we don't always talk about the tournament that just ended. I do want to ask you about a little bit and want to ask you specifically about Will Zalatoris. Now, he's obviously in COVID protocols for this tournament, will not play. For people that are considering bets on him or have already bet him, you'll get your money back. He's will not start the tournament. He's in COVID protocol. But just the putting, you know, sort of disappointments we saw down the stretch with him, missing a ton of putts, seemed like kind of nervy with his putting stroke the entire tournament. We have major season coming up. He's going to be a popular name. He was rookie of the year. Seems like he's primed to win a lot of events in his career. How do you look at Zalatoris for like the Masters, the US Open, the Open, kind of based on what we saw on Sunday and the game that he's coming into the season with?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the hard part is he could obviously strike it with anyone. When you're where he was, despite losing 1.3 strokes putting on the week, he finished sixth at the American Express, losing 1.5 strokes putting. You know, you're just not going to win a major doing that unless something wild happens and you just go on like a tigerific kind of approach a week. That's just not going to happen. Unfortunately, you know, he's gained almost 11 strokes ball striking. I was fine around the green, and you still lose. You know, you're going to look at one thing: the stroke is just not good. Anytime you have to go to the arm lock claw, I mean, you know, there's just some things going on there. You need to just revert and just start from scratch and get something a little more solid. Never really makes a good stroke at it. So, you know, when I'm looking at him for the majors, I mean, we can't take him in any of his prices right now, despite, you know, finishing second at the Masters. He's going to have to show a little bit of form with the putter, because you're not going to be able to win a major losing strokes putting. It's just not going to happen. So, you know, until he gets that figured out, he's just a wait and see for me.
JMaz, let's move to this weekend, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, which is not the best field we've ever seen in a tournament like this. But Pebble Beach is obviously a name that will resonate even with like casual golf fans. Everyone knows about Pebble Beach. So why don't you start us off here with a little course breakdown here and the stuff that you're going to be looking to as you look to handicap this tournament. Like, what are you looking for from the golfers as it pertains to this course, et cetera?
Yeah, for sure. So Pebble Beach is a three-course rotation. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they will play one of either Pebble, Spyglass Hill, or Monterey Peninsula Country Club. Beautiful courses, all right on the water, right? So obviously the first thing we have to consider is the weather. Is it going to be windy? If it's going to be windy, they will play difficult. Pebble will play the most difficult in those conditions. As it stands right now, and this is subject to change, it only looks like the wind is going to be there on Sunday, which obviously is the last round at Pebble Beach. So consider that maybe we'll be a little more of a you know, get those scores back down on that Sunday. But Thursday through Saturday, it looks pretty clean, right? Which means Pebble will actually play relatively easy. MPCC is the easiest of the courses. Spyglass will show a little bit of teeth, but generally speaking, these are going to be some easy courses. The most important part about Pebble, and this applies to all of them, they all play pretty relatively similar, is driving distance is almost irrelevant here. Because you've seen guys, shorter knockers, be able to be completely fine. There are a lot of forced layups. It becomes, you know, approach is important week in and week out. This week we're dealing with the smallest greens on tour, okay? So you're going to need to be able to at least hit these greens and make a lot of birdies. Around the green skill set does come into play a little bit more than other weeks. And you know, we're on the coast of the West Coast, so pull-up putting is obviously going to be important as well. Some guys like it, some guys don't. I like to look at the California guys who grew up putting it, you know, to kind of get the start of it. But, you know, the courses all play relatively similar. No wind. It's going to be a birdie fest. Sunday there should be a little wind to give us hopefully an exciting close. And again, it is a pro-am, so remember, we get 6 hour rounds here, and you're gonna see some hackers on the TV. Watch for the beautiful views, and then obviously for your bets.
James, I know we talk to you about course history all the time. Generally, like kind of just really macro golf in general, I feel like it can be a little overrated at times. Like if a guy plays a course really well once, does that mean he's going to play it really well again? You know, two exceptions to that I think would be the Masters, which we'll obviously talk to you about as we get closer to April with Augusta. But it also seems like Pebble works that way. Like if guys are good at it, they're just really good at it, right? And some of the names, like people might look at the odds market and say, like, why is Justin Rose 22-1? Or why is Jason Day so high up? Or some of these guys, it's because they play this course like insanely well every single time. How much is that history factoring into some of your outright decisions this week?
So, and you're right, and I think a lot of that also has to do with the format, right? Like some guys just don't want to play with a celebrity hack who's and play 6 hour long rounds. So if you're here, generally you're either kind of on the lower end of the tour scale, and you're just kind of happy to get a start and play for some great money and maybe some exemption, or you're a sponsor guy and AT&T is your sponsor, so you're going to get your butt there no matter what. But if you're going to be playing in this tournament with Torrey and Riviera, and also the Waste Management all right around there, which are also at the tournament, you're going to want to you're going to like enjoy playing at this golf course, right? So I think it does play into effect a little bit, play a part a little bit more. I think Kevin Streelman is a perfect example of this. Like he's getting bet like he's actually a favorite. He's in terrible form. We can get into that in a little bit, but you do see that reflected in the betting market. I'm not going to put as much into it as the market seems to, but it is probably, it is a little more important this week than it is most weeks.
You bet, BetQL Network. Terrific Tuesday. Nick Costos, Ken Barkley talking PGA this weekend, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am with our pal James Mazzola of the For-Profit Podcast on Twitter at JMazJD. JMaz, why don't you hit us with some of your favorite bets in the outright market?
For sure. So, Will's outdoors, obviously, with John kind of skewed some numbers here. So I put in some bets before, I put in some bets after. I do like Justin Rose. You talked about the course history. I like him a lot more because of his current form. You're looking at a guy who was sixth at the Farmers last week, gaining 5.4 strokes on approach, an excellent putter, an excellent pull-up putter. I'm really going to look at those pull-up stats. I want guys who can make it on the bumpy pull-up greens, and they're going to be slow greens too, right, because of all the amateurs. Guys who have shown, a prowess on the pull-up, and he is that. The solid course history, 28-1, and you're getting a guy who at his top of his form is one of the best players in the world. And then I'm going to move back, and there's just a slew of guys that I like in that 40 to 60 range. I mean, I really like them also. I don't have a lot of full tournament head-to-head matchups because those guys are all matched up together. But I'm just going to take a decent amount of these guys outright. I'm going to start with Lanto Griffin. This is a guy who's his last six starts, a sixth, a seventh, and a third. Third is the Amex, which is also a pro-am. So, that's the kind of format situation I like to see. He's gained strokes on approach in five of his last six. Excellent, excellent putter, has a win back in 19. So, he's familiar with the winner's circle. And in a field like this, he's one of those guys that can rise to the top. And I cannot pronounce his name, so I usually just put Besenhu. That's what I go with. South African, right? 55-1. He is he's awful off the tee, right? And despite that, this is a golf course where that's not going to matter. his game is in his approach, his around the green, and his putting. He's gained strokes. 6 of his last 7 where we have shot leak. And the thing that I love about him is, you know, he's going to be there come down on Sunday. He's made every single cut except one since the 2020 PGA. That's a lot of tournaments stateside. A guy who did cut his teeth on the European Tour, has some wins over there. So between Rose, Lanto, and Bazenhut, those are the kind of guys that I kind of like in that 30 to 55 range.
Yeah, I believe it's Christian Bezuidenhout, something like that. I used to think it was pronounced differently, and then PGA Tour Live threw me for a loop like last week or the week before they started pronouncing it differently. So I'm kind of with you. That's one name I'm completely with you on. I have no idea what's going on there. But worthy of betting, apparently, this week, and doesn't really matter if you can't pronounce his name or not. James, that's one market we always hit with you in addition to outrights, who you like to win the tournament. We have about 2 minutes left. Some of your favorite head-to-heads for this week, what do you like?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the guys that I'm looking to full fade is Daniel Berger. You know, the one thing I'm a little critical of the PGA Tour media is they really just, when they're talking to these guys, they just throw them softballs. No one's asking this guy about the fact that he was just limping around on Saturday and Sunday and barely swing the golf club. Anyone who was watching him on PGA Tour Live, I think I had a bet in his group. He's wincing. He's not hitting his irons as well as he usually is. And he is a defending champion, which, you know, is probably why he's here. I'm wondering if he's a complete WD, if not for the fact he's defending. You're going to be able to find him, lay some strokes with Patrick Cantlay around even money. Unfortunately, Willie Z was one of the matchups against him, so we're not going to get that one. But if you can find some Berger fade, especially if he's a favorite against any guys, you know, these markets do change. He's just a full fade. I mean, he's clearly hurt, so we don't know what it is. We don't know why, but if you just look at him, if he can, you know, go from wincing in pain to actually be able to play, that would be a pretty miraculous comeback. And then, you know, lastly, a guy who I actually have an outright bet on as well, and this goes into that course history versus are you playing well. Kevin Kisner is playing excellent golf right now. Third and eighth in Hawaii. He's gained a total of 6 strokes on approach in those 2 events, and he's a wonderful putter. He's up against Kevin Streelman, who, I mean, you know, again, excellent AT&T form, excellent pebble form, but has really shown nothing but just a bunch of made cuts and you know, in the 50s in terms of finishes in his last, you know, and then over the last year. Again, AT&T guy. So if you're a course history, you're gonna have to, you know, go against this. But I don't think course history plays that much. I don't think the grass just makes you hit the ball better. I like Kisner over Streelman in a full tournament bet.
James, we got about 15 to 30 seconds left to go here. Is there a bet? Is there a golfer you have not yet mentioned that you think could be good for our listeners and viewers to know about?
Yeah, real quick. Super weird. Interesting things going on in the outright market. Taylor Pendrith, Alex Smalley, and Wyndham Clark have been getting steamed in the sharp books. You can still get these guys at their equivalent in the derivatives at like top 20s at like 40 to 1. They're steamed all the way from like 100 plus into the 50s. So you're not going to want them bet them there for the outright. But go over to the top 20 and top 10 markets, and you can get a piece of some guys that clearly the sharp bettors are all over because their numbers have just been absolutely destroyed. So that's what I'm looking at in the top 20 market.
I'm happy to ask that question, JMS. Fantastic stuff as always, my friend. Good luck with the tournament this weekend. We will talk to you next week here on You Better You Bet. Check him out on Twitter at JMSJD and his podcast, The For Profit Podcast. That's probably my fault, the way I kind of did that. I should have been like, JMS, great to talk to you. He said goodbye, and then I would have plugged it. That's my bad.
We love JMS, though.
It was great to talk to JMS. That last answer was something. We'll be placing some bets during the break here. Quick break, and on the other side, final hour, power hour.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.